presenting Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Yes, Eric, you are going to enlighten us again with your little rustly self and all your wisdom. Welcome back to our second show on our new telephone number, our new thing, our new platform. And so far, everything's been smooth, but knock on wood, it hopefully will remain. We've got our wonderful Jennifer. Oh, I knocked on the table, right? And now Bella is
I heard the dog barking. Yeah.
God, stop it. That's me knocking. Jesus. So, but anyway, Jennifer, psychic medium Jennifer Dorn is here as our wonderful channeler for Eric. And today, Eric, first of all, hello. I love you. We're going to talk about stubbornness.
Yes. Yes, we definitely are.
I mean, it's an ego thing, right? This human quality. It's like, I want my own way. I want a pony, whatever.
Yeah.
Why are we like that, man?
You know, it's interesting because what Eric is giving me is that actually stubbornness has its good part. It's not all bad. Stubborn. The term stubborn isn't always negative connotation. Stubborn can be good.
Okay, it's like if you persevere through a difficult situation or to a road to success. Is that what you're talking about, Eric?
Yeah, like that sort of thing. And you know, sometimes like I don't know why, but he's talking about like sometimes people, if you take a musician. You know, and when they're young and they just know that that's the path for them, and maybe the family and their friends are telling them, no, you got to do something else. And they just know that they're supposed to do that. So they keep going that path, even if they, you know, are told no, they just keep at it. And that would appear as stubbornness, you know, that would appear stubborn from the outside. But when they reach their goal, it was worth it.
Right.
So it's like stubbornness can be a good thing when it's pushing you to do something, but when stubbornness is preventing you from learning and growing, that's when it's not a good thing.
When it negatively affects others, maybe.
Yeah. That can definitely be, you know what, it's interesting because he says yes, but then he also says, well, he says if you are supposed to end a relationship or move on from a relationship, your stubbornness may appear to negatively affect your partner, but if it's what is supposed to end the relationship and move on, again, it's interesting. I figured we were going to be talking about like, oh, stubbornness is bad, you know, it's not a good thing. But he's like, nope, stubbornness can be good. And even in that sort of a situation, if it's a relationship and your stubbornness ends the relationship, it might have been the catalyst that was supposed to end the relationship.
Yeah, maybe a part of a spiritual contract, I guess, to play the relationship villain, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yes, he says stubbornness can be a bad thing. Absolutely, because it's like I guess what he's saying is more like when the stubbornness comes from a place of ignorance and not being open-minded, that's when it does not serve us.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't serve us, and we're not, you know, maybe in those type of situations, we're turning our back on our lessons that we're supposed to be learning if we just opened up a little bit. Ignorance is what he says. When stubbornness comes from ignorance, that's when it's not beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. And of course, I guess sometimes stubbornness is rooted in the need to control or the need to be right. So it's kind of like fear-based.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that is when it would get in the way of, you know, learning. And some people... You know, some people really, really struggle with stubbornness, he said, and not in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, and the people who really struggle with it, like, they'll argue stuff that they know they're wrong, but they cannot let it go. And yes, that would absolutely come from control and manipulation. That's definitely ego.
Nobody wants to be wrong. Nobody wants to be proven wrong. It feels like it takes away from their self-esteem and sort of saps their self-confidence. If you were to say, you know what? I think you're right. I've learned something today. Then that can actually increase your self-esteem.
Absolutely.
And open your mind.
Yeah, and he says, if you could just like laugh at yourself and say, oh, you know what, you're right, you know, and just kind of let it go and move on. Because it's like Eric's saying, like, you know, when you're stubborn, the people who are stubborn like that, the other people know that you're wrong in what you're doing. And even if they concede to you, it's just to get you shut up, he said. It's like, it's not because they believe that you're right. It's really just to get you to shut up. So it's like everybody knows. He's like, everybody knows in the situation when you're arguing your point that's wrong.
Oh, you'd be making a fool
like,
out of yourself. Right. You'd be making a fool out of yourself. So how do people come to be stubborn? I'm talking about there's no negative or positive, but in the way that doesn't serve that person or others around them.
He says a lot of times that does come from childhood, either maybe a learned behavior, you know, stubbornness is something that we can learn from our parents or, you know, the people who raise us. He said it can be, sometimes this is just your nature. It's part of the soul contract to come in and be stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Stubbornness, sometimes it's it comes from another lifetime. You know, it's comes in from another lifetime of, maybe if you were like kind of a pushover in another lifetime, you kind of decided to come in and be the other extreme. Like, nope, I'm digging my heels in. I'm not conceding to stuff. So you might just want to try the other side of the coin. It's nature and nurture. He said nature and nurture.
So if you're stubborn, it's getting in your way. Or somebody else's way, or everybody's way, then would hypnotic regression be something worthwhile to find out if it does, if it is sort of a bleed through from another life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And he also is saying, like, children, like, as children, if you have a child who's very strong-willed, and they, you know, push back and push back and push back, and then eventually you give in, he said that is a really good recipe to create a very stubborn adult.
Oh, my God.
Somebody who won't give in even when they're wrong.
Oh, but there's ways that you can, like, avoid those kind of issues. For example, when my kids were little, I wouldn't say, okay, we're having cereal. Oh, no, I don't want to. No, I'd give them a choice. Hey, would you like French toast or whatever? So they have control. They have a choice, so they don't have to be stubborn.
Yeah.
So if you can give a little bit of not control, but a little say-so, a little choice with children, and maybe that can help prevent stubbornness.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And also, children, if they don't feel like it's okay to be wrong, that is another thing that will create that very dysfunctional stubbornness. Like, oh, no, I can't be wrong. I can't be wrong. So it could come, the stubbornness can come from fear is what he also is saying. So, you know, ignorance or, you know, and he says fear. If you're, you know, if you have a kid, you get in trouble for being wrong, then you're going to do everything you can to not be wrong.
God, and I think we should teach our kids that there is no right or wrong. Everything is an experience that has values. And within that experience, there are just a cornucopia of, I didn't know if I was going to drop that word in. possible lessons. So, and I always taught my kids and now my grandkids that making mistakes is awesome. People who don't make mistakes, they really don't progress. I ask them this trick question: is it okay to be wrong, or is it okay to make a mistake? And of course, they fall for it. Oh no, it's terrible. No, it's really good because these are stepping stones to success. These are valuable lessons for you to grow. And people who don't make mistakes are probably ones who don't even push themselves out of their comfort zone and stretch the envelope, so to speak, to expand. So
yes, exactly.
I think I'm channeling some of this because I sure do sound a lot smarter than I really am. Things that are coming out of my mouth because it's just I don't know, man. It's not coming from me. But
Hey, you probably are, you know?
Yeah, could be. Now, what can the lesson be to come in stubborn as part of a contract? Why would one do that?
Well, to learn compromise is one of the big things.
Ooh,
that he says
yeah.
That would be a big lesson to learn. If you come in as somebody with stubbornness in your soul contract, compromise would be right up there on the list. Open-mindedness, seeing other points of view. He said people who are very, very stubborn have a very difficult time seeing other angles of situations. They really have a difficult time seeing anything but their own. Putting themselves in other people's shoes, that sort of thing. He said people with that real stubbornness don't tend to do that or be able to do that. So compassion is another one that he says would be to learn from this stubbornness, and just understanding, just, you know, like, it's like everybody's just kind of trying to do their best, you know?
Yeah.
Lighten
yeah.
up a bit.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's true. Lighten up, people. Lighten up.
It's not
that serious. The Nutrisystem for Men commercial drives me crazy. It's or whatever, I can't remember. I don't know why I brought this thing. So, you know, sometimes I wonder about myself. I really do. All right, so let me ask you a question. Is it more common, stubbornness, is it more common in males or females? Or equal?
Well, you know, he says no, it's not really more common from one sex to the other, although he does say that sometimes women are a bit more subtle about it. Generally speaking, it doesn't tend to be as, you know, men can be a bit more boisterous about it.
Okay.
Not that women can't, because they of course can, but no, it's not like more men are stubborn than women. No, he says it's pretty even across the board.
What about different
Say everybody has some level of stubbornness.
Yeah.
Now, it might just be about, since we were talking about cats earlier, like what kind of food that they're going to feed their cat, and they won't ever deviate from that. And that's where they dig their heels in. It may be something minor. But he says everybody has some level of stubbornness.
Absolutely. What was I going to say? Oh, it was so important. Obviously not, but, Well, whatever. Let's figure out what are solutions to overcoming your, a stubbornness that does not serve you or others.
Yeah. So, number one, you have to be aware of it. Plain and simple. You have to be aware that your stubbornness may be causing issues in your life. And he says, without that, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do to clear it up, because you won't even be working on it. But if you are somebody who is aware that your stubbornness, and he says stubbornness becomes like an instinct. You know, some people's first instinct to something is to say no. Do you want to do this? No. And some people have that instinct of just saying no.
That's yeah.
Before
it's
they
like,
even think, is yep. that okay? Yeah. But he says stubbornness becomes an instinct for people, and they don't even realize they're doing it. Much like the need to be right, same thing. It's an instinct. It's your kind of your go-to. So if you realize that you have maybe some struggles and some challenges because of your stubbornness, then he says it's always helpful and seeing like, okay, do I need to dig my heels in here, or can I be flexible?
That's what I tell my husband. I said, think before you say no. Think, what's the worst thing that could happen if you say yes? And he never listens to me though.
You have to retrain yourself. He says you got to retrain yourself to come from a different point of view than the stubbornness.
But my husband's stubbornness is what
that's
also
a
makes
tough
him.
One.
Yeah, my husband's stubbornness, however, is what makes him very successful. too. He never gives up, and he always just finds another way to make things happen, succeed, et cetera.
Yes,
what about role playing? Can you role play? With somebody like, because you know, just to get them used to being wrong.
Yes.
Or being, you know, absolutely. Maybe that would help.
Absolutely. Yeah, because what Eric is saying is because that puts them, that's part of retraining the brain. It puts them into scenarios to say, okay, like how would I react here and how could I maybe react a little differently to get a different outcome? But like you said with, you know, with your husband, you don't want his stubbornness gone completely because that is, you know, truly part of what makes him successful. And so it's like, it's such a strong, you know, personality trait sometimes that it spreads to every aspect of life, not necessarily with him, but just in general.
Oh, no, not with
him.
So
it's like, okay, my stubbornness serves me at work, but maybe I could be less stubborn when it comes to friends and family, and then that's the area you work on.
I think a lot of people, including my husband, have trouble being that bossy, dominating person at work and then coming home to the wife and kids or the husband and kids.
Yes.
And changing that whole, you know, drill sergeant type attitude. But anyway, if he wasn't stubborn, I wouldn't have very much to make fun of. So that's no fun. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
One more question. Are there any particular races or professions or any other groups that tend to be more stubborn than others? And if so, why?
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Eric, before we take calls?
No.
All right. Let's do it. I have somebody here from the 254 area code. All right, peeps. Let's do this. Hello. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful.
How are you? Where are you calling? Who are you and where are you calling from?
My name's Alice, and I'm calling from Temple, Texas.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Oh, hi, Alice. All right, the floor is yours, girl.
All right. I know we all come in with our contracts, and they're pre-designed, and I've gone through a lot of traumas in my life, and I just got over PTSD for the most part. And now here comes another one. And I'm just wondering, what's the purpose of this at this time in my life now? Is it to learn self-love? Is it?
You know, what's interesting is as you're talking, I feel very, very tight in my chest. Like my chest and heart area feel very, very tight. So it's interesting that you mentioned love. What Eric is saying is that you were kind of, sorry, he's being funny. He said you were kind of looking to finish it all up this time. So you piled it on with the whole
thing. Oh, yeah.
All right, let me just get it done and not have to come back. so he said you just piled it on. But do you have your heart checked? Have you had your heart checked in an EKG?
I just had one done. I just had all that done. I'm triple negative. Breast cancer.
So that's the chest area that you're picking up, Jennifer.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is definitely something that, you know, you gotta deal with here. You gotta work through this and you gotta get through it. And he says it's part of your soul contract, but you're strong enough to do it. But boy, you did pile it on this time. He said, man, it's like he says your spirit guides and your counsel before you came in were like, are you sure you want to do all of this when you're there? And you just did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can feel it.
So what do you recommend?
To help myself through this.
Yeah.
Oh,
what do you recommend?
Geez,
to help?
Deep breaths, deep breathing. Pay attention to your breathing. Eric says you spend a lot of time breathing real shallow, which keeps you in fight or flight. Okay. So it increases your anxiety and increases your stress. You got to pay attention to your breathing, you know, yoga, meditation. You got to do stuff that's going to balance out this stress and negativity, okay?
Well, what can she do, Eric, if anything? Is there anything she could do to fight this cancer and prevail?
He's absolutely making me feel as though this is something she can – prevailing. So, you know, yeah, whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's alternative, whether it's medicine, I do feel a combination of both. You know, traditional
yeah.
medicine and alternative stuff is going to be best for you.
Yeah. What about this doctor? This doctor Nurgani, I think his name is.
Yes.
He takes a
yep.
biopsy. You know him?
I swear I just saw something on this. Yes.
Wow. And he takes the cells and he tests them in the lab against a different individual chemotherapeutic agents to see, you know, which agent works best against that particular cancer. Is that something she should consider?
Yeah, it's just what Eric is saying is that this type of testing isn't like available everywhere right now. Is this a relatively new thing? It's not.
I don't know.
It's
I
not
think
something
so.
That every oncologist is doing just out of the, you know, like
yeah.
you have to ask for it and look for it.
Yeah. But it seems
absolutely.
Like she could at least get the biopsy. I mean, just get the information from Nagurney.
Yeah.
And then her doctors can follow that recipe.
Absolutely. Yes.
Anything else you want to ask, Alice?
No, you answered so much for me. And thank you, Elisa, for all that you do. I truly appreciate everything.
Oh, I truly appreciate you, sweetie. And you got to keep us
Thanks
posted,
so
right?
Much.
Keep us
I
posted.
Sure will.
And Eric,
thank you so much.
Eric, watch out after our girl, okay? Take care of her.
Yes, yes. Good luck.
Okay.
Love you. Thank you.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we've been talking via email, so.
Eric says in a situation like this, this is where stubbornness would serve somebody. You know, you're not giving in.
Right,
this is,
right.
He said this is an area that stubbornness, and even he said even the stubbornness that you see in people that sometimes, you know, creates challenges for them. He
mm-hmm.
said this is an area that would be helpful.
Exactly. Don't give up, man. All right, we have somebody here
yeah.
from the 775 area code. Hey there, how you doing?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Who is this? And where are you calling
my
from?
My name is Wendy from Sacramento.
Oh, hi, Wendy. Is there anything in particular you want to ask Eric or Jennifer or anybody?
Well, are you taking calls about clairvoyance or seeing the future?
Oh, anything. You ask anything you want. We'll see. What Eric has to say.
Okay.
Or Jennifer.
Well, I had a real bad fall on the 14th, and I almost broke my ankle.
Oh, goodness.
And I broke my fall by instinctively putting my arms in front of me. And I'm off for this week, and I'm going to ask my doctor to extend me another week because in my work, it's required that I'm constantly typing, using the mouse and making notations regarding phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to her briefly today. She didn't sound very friendly, but yeah, and I'm concerned because I care about getting well, but I also care about keeping my job. And so it would be messy if I go into work on Monday and then I can't keep up because of the pain in my wrist.
Yeah, no, Eric says you're not ready to go back to work. And so you're going to need to go in and see the doctor and advocate for yourself. Okay.
Wait a minute. Did they x-ray your wrist? Have they x-rayed your wrist?
Yes.
Because you know what? But sometimes, I'm telling you, falling on an outstretched hand can create tiny little fractures in the navicular bone and different bones of the wrist that sometimes you don't see for the first 2 weeks. You have to re-x-ray it because then
mm-hmm.
that gives the osteoclast, these little cells, that a chance to gobble up the debris in the fracture line so that the fracture shows up. So if you still have pain, I would recommend a second x-ray 2 weeks after the injury.
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah.
She did say that I sprained my wrist, and she said that would not show up in the X-ray.
No, that's true.
And you know what? When I speak to her, I'll be polite, but I'm going to be more assertive, and I'm going to say, I'm almost 68, so
yes.
Somebody 20 years old probably would be doing a lot better by now, and I'm just going to tell
right.
her that health is my priority, absolutely, but also I need to keep my employment. And
right,
trust
right.
me, my employer won't like it if I have to leave because I'm in too much pain
yeah.
to type.
Yeah, have
yeah.
you tried
so
typing?
So do you think she'll give me the extension if I'm more assertive and
I
still polite? But
yes,
more assertive?
I do. Yes, she's not rude, but just more assertive. There is a level of intimidation. She's her energy does feel intimidating.
She's
yes,
stubborn.
Yes. Tell her, yes, and she thinks that she knows better than you. So,
oh, God.
You know, take some deep breaths. You know, keep yourself from crying if you can, and just advocate for yourself. But yes, you are not ready to go back. Eric says you're
yes,
not ready to go back,
started.
And you won't be able to do the job right now.
Hey, you know
but,
what?
But she'll
insist on an MRI. Because she will
yeah.
do it then. Because
yep.
she wants the CYA. Because if she misses a fracture because she refuses to do an MRI, she's going to be in deep doggy doo-doo. She'll say, you know what? And tell her what I said. You don't have to mention my name. But, you know, I've heard that fractures of the wrist bones can be very difficult to see on X-ray. That the little osteoclasts, just write that down, you know, take time to clean the fracture line. So I want an MRI, period.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to do that,
okay.
I will be glad to go to another freaking doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly. If she's not going
right.
to do it, you get yourself another doctor.
She is a good doctor, but you picked up on something. I believe she was trying to intimidate me so that I didn't flat out ask for an extension. And and I'm not. So I think I'll ask her on Thursday morning because that buys a day and a half at the end of the week to negotiate
yeah.
with her. And
mm-hmm.
I think I will be switching doctors because I don't think it's right that I'm intimidated
no.
in this kind of situation.
Not at all.
No. I will say this, although I would not be intimidated because of this, but doctors are inundated with fakers. People who just want to get their workman's comp and get on. I remember I had this young, strong guy show up in the ER and said, I want you to sign my disability papers. Well, why? I don't know. My back aches or whatever. So I examined him and said, okay, I'll be glad to take care of those papers. And I wrote across it, not disabled, just all across it. So, you know, but people do try to get something for nothing. And that she has probably had to deal with that. But you have to make it clear to her that you ain't one of them people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let me know what happens.
All right, well, thank you. And I am applying for a new job because I hate being micromanaged right now by my current boss. Oh, it's serious. And I applied at a great job online 2 Sundays ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard anything, but sometimes that's good news. But do you see me getting in a new job anytime soon?
Yeah, actually within, well, I don't know what you think is soon, but Eric says it's in the next 3 months.
Okay, good.
So,
all right, well, thank you for calling. Take care.
Okay, love you all. Thank you.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Okay. Here's one from the 203 area code. Hey there, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, who is this?
Hi, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Connecticut.
Okay,
and
beautiful state. Oh.
It is a nice state.
Yeah.
We're headed for spring. It'll be even nicer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask Eric what he thought I should do with my dad's business that was that I inherited.
Sell it. Get rid of it. Be done with it.
Really?
What kind of business is it?
Automotive.
Okay. So, Eric, why? Why is it better to sell it than to keep it and expand and make something out of it?
It just doesn't feel like the right thing for you. He says sell it. It'll be better in somebody else's hands. I don't know if this is just something you don't really want to do or you don't have a passion for, or what this is. Somebody else needs to be in charge of this.
What if she doesn't sell it? What's the worst that could happen?
Well, yeah, you don't have to sell it. It just feels, I don't know. Like Erica's kind of making me feel like, it's a little bit of a hassle. I don't want to say burden. It's not burden's not quite the right word, but it's like, it's just not the right place for you. He says, is there any way that you could keep this and not be involved in it at all?
I really haven't thought about that. Is that the way I should turn?
If you don't want to sell it, he says, then have somebody else run it. Have somebody else kind of handle all the day-to-day stuff.
Somebody you trust.
Yes.
Free will.
He says you've got free will, so you don't have to sell it. You can keep it. But the best thing for you, what he's saying, is to just sell it. It's not like a slap in the face to your father. It's not selling his memories. It's not any of that kind of stuff. This is something that he loved, but it's just not the same for you.
Well, Eric, what would be better for her? I mean, she could get somebody she trusts to kind of run that and whatever, reap the profits of it with this person, but she could do something else. What do you see her doing that would make her heart sing?
Are you retired or looking to retire?
Oh, I would love to retire, but no, I'm not near retirement. I'm not retired.
That's what he says
right
she would
now.
Love to do.
I would love to retire.
Is to be retired. Yeah. So what he says that she would love is to actually be retired. So, work, and then retirement is what you'll love.
Okay. I have two words for him. Weed or proto?
What's proto?
Weed or proto, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, weed.
Okay.
What's proto?
Thank you.
Well, I'll have to look that up. I'll have to Google that one. All right. Well,
yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Proto. I never heard of that. Have you?
No.
Jennifer? No.
Never.
Oh, we lead such sheltered lives. All right, we got somebody from the 678 area code. Hey there, what's up?
Hello.
Hello. What's up? How are you?
This is the jawbreaker from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. How are you doing?
You know, I want to tell the audience that when your husband is being stubborn, Elisa, you call him Mr. Funbuster.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Right?
No. What was it that my Lucas used to, when he was little, would say Fun Crusher, like that. So funny. Oh, but his nickname is I Have Spoken. It's so funny.
That's
and
too
I
funny.
Remember.
Yeah,
I remember sitting at the dinner table and, you know, our family, everybody's talking, it gets loud. And my husband does not like a lot of chaos and noise. And so he has his readers on to try to see his food. And he looks up and says, "What is the meaning of this?" And all you can see are these giant eyes that are magnifying like Bambi. And, you know, it was so cute. And everybody started laughing. But
that's too funny. Well, this is Jim from Atlanta, Lisa.
Hi, no Jim. Hi.
Yes, you know me. Hi. And, you know, I just wanted to ask Eric if see if he could delve into that EVP that I sent you today.
Yeah.
That I recorded 2 years ago, almost to the day, a little bit more than 2 years ago. And
it
predicted my...
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
No, yeah. It was 2 years ago. And the voice who sounds like me predicted my daughter's pregnancy. And I'm just wondering if Eric can kind of like scoop up that energy and find out who that was speaking, if he has any idea.
Yeah, it's what I'll tell you, me, Jennifer, as you were talking about that, I got so much heat through my body. So the energy in this that you were talking about is so incredibly intense and incredibly high. Mm. It's just very remarkable. But what Eric said is it was like your higher self giving you a bit of the Akashic record.
Ooh.
Is why it sounded like your voice.
Yeah, because it sounded like my voice, and the only other person that sounds like me is my deceased brother from 8 years ago. And people, when I would play the recording to people, they would go, "Oh, that's you, Jim. You're spoofing us." And I go, "That's not me."
Yeah, Eric.
I hear
Eric
Helen back there.
No.
She's saying it could be your dad.
No, Eric said no to both of those. He said no. This was like your higher self giving you a premonition from the Akashic records. Picking it up on whatever, you know, you were using.
Okay, tell
Can
everybody
I ask Eric,
why you recorded that, what kind of recording this was.
Well, okay, so I was telling you, Elisa, I was speaking out loud to a person that was just recently deceased that I found out about, and I had this I had this feeling like, oh, turn on the recorder. So I set my iPhone on memo record. You know, you can do a memo recording.
Oh, yeah.
And I set it on recording. The door was open to my deck. You could hear all these birds chirping. And I just let it record. And and I picked it up after about 2 minutes. I don't let my recorder go more than about 2 or 3 minutes. I picked it up and I did the playback. And I got this voice saying, "Danielle, she and Fox are having a child, are gonna have a child. Am I right?" This is spoken about before. And I'm going, oh, listen to this. Wow, this is crazy. Now they're mentioning Danielle, my daughter. So, and that happened on February 6th, 2017, just 2 years. And we just found out Danielle is going to have a child.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's really
Eric
cool.
Eric said that moment was in your soul chart. It was a plan before you got here that would happen.
Wow.
Oh, that's really cool. And thank Eric for spoofing me on the plane,
that's awesome.
Pranking me on the airplane at 7.3 miles up in the air. I had great fun with that. That was really good. Thank you, Eric.
That was fun for a lot of people in the airplane. All right. Well, thank you, Jim, for calling in.
Well, thank you, Elisa. I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Eric made this bright, glowing red dot on the other side of the cabin wall of the airplane. So cool. And the flight attendants were like, what? Okay, we got somebody from the 702 area code. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. What's up?
Just calling you guys. How are you both?
Oh, we're doing fine.
Good.
What is your first name and where are you calling from?
My name is Lisa. I'm from Las Vegas.
Okay. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I've spoken with you, Elisa, a little bit about my son, but
yes,
by email. But I'm calling today to see about, we had talked to Eric before about our move. And I just kind of want to see if everything's still on track and, like, how it's all going to work out because we want to move to
State of the Union time. State of the Union time, Eric.
It's still – he says it's still a go. Is this going to be, like, 6 weeks later than you were expecting?
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know why. I feel like 6 weeks – to 8 weeks longer, it may take, but everything's still a go. Is there a chance you don't have a place to stay, a permanent place to stay when you first get there for like 6 to 8 weeks?
Possibly, because we have to sell this house and then buy one there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you may
be like transient for 6 to 8 weeks, kind of like, I don't know. There's just something about where you're just sort of in a holding pattern, like, you know, whatever this is. Like, you may not move out of one house and right into the other. But
We're
still on track, he says.
It feels like I'm being punished, like I can't leave Las Vegas. I don't understand.
You have to let go of that.
Yeah, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas, even Lisa. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. No, he says, no, you are, but that energy, you don't want to be manifesting that. He says you are not being punished. This is just one of those times this happens in life. He says when like we are ready for the next step with the universe or God or whatever it is you want to call it, the timing isn't quite right. And so this is where you're at. You've been ready to do this, but the timing isn't exactly right. It is not a punishment, but let go of that energy that's a punishment. Okay.
It's very
counterproductive energy.
The universe knows, man. The universe knows.
Yeah. And he's
what's best for you.
He says that Eric says you are a good manifester. Some people are good manifestors without really knowing that they're good manifestors. And some people try to manifest stuff and they struggle with it. You are a good manifester by nature. So you have to watch how much negative stuff you focus on.
Mm.
That's a big deal for you for whatever reason. Okay.
Only positive thoughts. You don't want a negative thought to become reality.
Yep.
Thoughts create reality.
Yep.
All right, Lisa, thank you for calling.
Right. Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're just going through this like none other. Here's one, somebody from the 203 area code. Hey there.
Hello.
How are you? Hi.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. The main thing is, how are you? And what is your name?
My name is
Denise. Where are you from?
Connecticut.
And what is your social security number? Just kidding. I'm sorry,
I can't tell you that.
Your mother's maiden name. And
what do you have for our, is it Sue you said?
No, Denise.
Oh, Denise. Well, I wasn't close at all, was I?
No.
That's because I was talking over you.
That's
but
okay.
Anyway.
People usually say Debbie.
What did you got for Eric?
So I saw this really funky thing on my deck this past Sunday, and I had someone look at it and read it, and they said it was lots of people from the other side showing me that they were here because I took a picture of it. And it was kind of funky, and I have spoken to Ryan about things like this, and last year he said 1 to 3 years you'll start seeing things, which I maybe. So I've just come out of doing chemo last year, and I'm just wondering, Eric had said that, because I called him once before, had said that this was a lesson to learn to let go, and I'm just wondering, what's up now? What's my life's purpose now?
He wants to focus on the energies that you were seeing. You through whatever this is that you've done with your chemo and stuff, you have opened up a gate. It's almost as if like you've got somewhat of like an energy portal there where you're at, like you're like a beacon. You're a beacon. Eric says you're going to start having very vivid dreams if you haven't already. And visiting your dreams and information in your dreams, you've got to kind of write that stuff down. There's meaning in it. So, yes, your clairvoyance, through this journey, your clairvoyance has definitely opened up.
Yes, I thought so.
Yeah.
Is that because of the chemotherapy? Or is it because of the chemotherapy? Or is it because of
the journey.
The journey. Is it the brush with death because of cancer kind of thing?
yeah,
that triggered
the whole
something.
Journey, not specifically the chemotherapy. It's not like chemotherapy didn't do this, but the journey kind of brought you to this, opened up your spirituality. And that's definitely, you know, and what Eric is saying is actually this is going to kind of, stuff's going to start rapidly happening.
That's
so
awesome.
Whatever it is you're drawn to. Yeah, whatever it is you're drawn to, kind of start working with that. If it's a clairvoyance, if it's, you know, catching the orbs on the camera, you know, start kind of doing some of this stuff. And he also says join a group. And I really do feel he's like, he keeps showing me the orbs. So see if there's like a meetup group around you that does this kind of stuff, that goes into active places and does the cameras, and see if you can get involved in something like this. A group activity would be good for you.
Or sometimes there's groups of people who feel like they have the clairs and they practice on each other, you know, and then they get get encouragement and support from each other. So check that out. All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you for calling.
Eric's saying you need to be with people doing stuff. That'll open it up quicker than just trying to kind of do it quietly.
Do yourself. Yeah, that's good.
Will do. I'll do it.
All right.
Thank you, Eric.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank
good
you,
luck.
Lisa. Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks.
You betcha, sweetie. Good luck. Oh, that is so exciting. She's got a journey of adventure ahead. Okay. Hello, 302 area code. How are you? Are you eating? Because I'm hungry. I hear somebody eating. I hear silverware and I guess plates. Hi. Are you there?
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Hey there.
Hey.
What is that clinking? Are you eating?
No, I wasn't eating. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. I didn't even
know. Because it made me hungry, man. It made me hungry. Because this
it's
is always my dinner time.
Cubes. Oh, my God. It's ice cubes. I was swirling around my ice cubes. Eric must have done this because I really wasn't in queue. I'm like, should I be in queue? I took myself out of queue, and I was like, what question should I ask? I know I'm stubborn.
Cool.
And I did not even, I swear to you guys, I did not put myself in queue. So clearly,
that's weird.
I'm supposed to be there.
What's your first name and where are you from?
Okay, my name is Olivia.
Olivia.
I live in Delaware. Yes.
Where do you live?
In Delaware.
Oh, Delaware. Okay. All right, great. What do you have for Eric?
I always say nowhere, Delaware. Well, you know, I wanted to ask Eric because I have been, I used to be able to feel him and feel his energy. And lately I've been going through something really intense and I'm not sure what it is. It feels like a huge transformation of sorts, but it's so intense that it almost made me feel like I really just don't want to be on this planet anymore.
Oh,
feel like sometimes I feel like I am so overwhelmed and so done. But yet there's a part of me that says, you know, I don't think it's even in the contract to just, you know, quit.
No,
and just,
it
and
is
just
not
get out
in
of
your
this.
Contract.
I know.
No, here, that's where stubbornness comes
he
in.
Says,
the good stubbornness comes in here.
Yeah. He says that is not in your contract. He says you are absolutely not done there yet here.
Okay.
So, no, that is not part of your contract. And he says you will absolutely get through this. And it's not as bad as it seems.
How can she get through it? What can help her? What can help her get through this yet?
Well, can I tell you, you know, Elise, as you're asking a question, because one of the things that's really bothering me is that my daughter recently actually attempted suicide.
Mm.
And she's 22 years old. And I had a dream that, you know, was saying it's all my fault. Like I'm partially responsible for this.
Mm-mm.
No, that was just your subconscious. That is not actually true.
Okay.
It's that human side of us wanting to take the guilt, wanting to take the responsibility.
Yeah, it's a mother thing too, you know.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No, she acts on her own free will. Her choices are hers. That had nothing to do with you. It was not your fault. the anxiety and the stress that you're feeling right now is, you know, there are some levels of anxiety and stress that we can live with, and then there are some that start to interfere with our ability to live our life productively. You're in that stage. Eric says you're in that stage. So if you have not gotten help, whether it's homeopathic or medical, he says you need to get help with that because that is becoming, it's inhibiting your ability to live and function.
Okay. I think you ought to have a session with Jennifer or one of the other mediums. I think there's a lot here that needs to be discussed. I really do. Now, why, first of all, Eric, can you help her daughter? And also, Eric, why did she attempt suicide? Could it be a bleed through where in another life she took her life, or I mean, at the same age? Or because
He says depression, bipolar issue here. Do we have a diagnosis? I'm sorry to put that right out there, but is there a diagnosis of depression or bipolar?
That's fine. There was a diagnosis of bipolar back in 2014. Yes, there was. There was that diagnosis. Yeah.
So he says this isn't managed. But you know, bipolar is very challenging to live with. And it's like just because something might have worked for a year or 2 years doesn't mean it's still working. We have hormone issues too because of, you know, being in the young 20s that affect all this. There's a lot going on inside of her body.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's going to help her daughter now?
Therapy is a big one that he says. Is she doing talk therapy at least once a week?
No, as a matter of fact, I suggested, I have a friend, my daughter lives out in California, so I have a friend I contacted after she attempted to just end her life, and she never reached out to my friend. My daughter and I have not spoken since 2013, 2014, she graduated high school. And I tell you guys, this is like the worst. I feel like even though she's alive and I can do something, I feel so powerless.
You can't do anything.
She
won't talk to me.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, you can't make her get better.
Okay.
That relationship needs to be reunited somehow, reconnected. And maybe your daughter needs to have a session with Eric. But anyway, what do you think, Eric?
That would be awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome if she could have a session with Eric.
Same age, you know, same age thing going on. It would offering that as a mother to a daughter help reconnect mother and daughter?
I think what I'm going to do, Lisa, now that you mentioned that, because I have a son who's 5 years older than she is, I'll mention it to him because I think that she would receive it much better if it came from him. I think
nobody listens to mom. I swear to God, it is so true. Oh,
isn't it? It's so frustrating.
God.
And
I love her to pieces.
But I also understand that under some soul contract also, I signed up for this. But this is past life stuff
that you guys have going on. This is a past life issue that you guys are trying again. You had very similar type of relationship last time too.
Here's what I recommend. I could be totally off base. But I really think you need to consider hooking up with Jennifer and y'all come up with some questions to ask, like, is it based on past another life? And what, you know, what is her spiritual mission? Is it the fact that she doesn't know what her spiritual purpose is? Blah, 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 blah. What medications? Okay. Who's the therapist? Blah, 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 blah. And should I reconnect with my mom? Would that help? So anyway, and then also just to have her, talk to Eric.
Yes, Jennifer, please leave your info so I can contact you. Yes, please. Thank you. Alisa, I love you to pieces,
girl.
I hope I get to meet you. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you and everything that you've done. I love you so much. So much.
I love you too. And I appreciate you and your friendship so much. But anyway, it's psychic medium JenniferDoran.com. DORAN, okay? All right, sweetie, keep in touch. Okay. We'll get through this together, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Wow, I don't know if we have enough time for another 4 minutes. Oh, boy. No, I don't want to cut somebody short. That's just the worst. So I think we'll leave it off here.
Yeah.
And you guys heard, it's psychicmediumjenniferdoran.com. And, you know, I have it in the information announcing the show and stuff. So you got it there. Jennifer, thank you so much. This was awesome. Thank you guys who are listening.
Thank you,
my lovely, lovely boy, Eric. How much I love you.
He
oh,
says,
my
I
gosh.
Love you. I love you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.